As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, it's sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, September the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. We've got good news. At least we've got news. We've got facts. Yes, that too. And we might discuss solutions again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around America. And around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics and news to me via email, bvlhost@centurytel.net. Always like to get your emails. Again, that's BVL, like Become Vocal Local Host, at centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out this morning again to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. The G20 summit this week, big in the news. Precious metals and currencies are hammered to paint a happy face on the U.S. dollar as the foreign dignitaries arrive, and we'll talk about that too. Man's role in changing the face of the earth. We'll talk about water today. We'll talk about banking issues and other things. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into those market reports for Monday, September the 21st, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago, gold was trading off $7.80 below the $1,000 mark, now trading at $9.98.70. Silver losing 26 cents in morning trading, trading below the $17 mark again, trading at $16.72 an ounce. Platinum losing $19. Well, you get the idea. Everything's going down. Platinum losing $19 in early morning trading, trading at $1,309 an ounce. In palladium, losing $7, trading at $293. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning so far, $994.70 for a low, $1,004.60 for a high. We're looking at a fair spread there. At $998.70, your gold yet is still up $146.40. Over where it was just 1 year ago today, for a 17.18% return on your investment in gold. The London Gold Fix, the boys in London this morning, as they've done for hundreds of years, set the gold price at $999.25. Just can't say $1,000 in London, you know. That's the way the Rothschilds keep the iron grip on the gold. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 36 points on Friday, trading at 98.20. The NASDAQ was up 6, trading 21.33, and the S&P was up 3 at 1,068. Pick it all up there. Continue with your calls and much, much more after this first commercial intermission.
Oh. Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth of our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. This is the Monday, September the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of SAME. Going back and finishing out our market reports for this morning, again, we find gold trading off $7.80 at $998.70 an ounce, and silver down 26 cents at $16.72 an ounce. The crude oil this morning losing $1.70, trading at 70.34. So we can see that all of the commodities, all the currencies, precious metals, all of this is on a big downward slide here, as the stock market is buoyed up in this kind of a false rally, but nevertheless rally that it is, the Dow Jones nearing the 9,900 mark, whatever that means, who knows, have a clue. Anyhow, the USDX is the real troublemaker in all of this, of course, bumped up as it was, 57 basis points, trading just above 77 at 77.02, of course. That's to be understood with all of the bonds that are going to be sold in the week coming, and with the G20 meeting, once again, as I say, painting a very, very happy face on the U.S. dollar in the advance of this G20. Can it hold over the week? We'll see. We'll just have to see what happens when the bigger players get in the market. In the foreign exchange rates this morning, Canadian dollar trading off 89 basis points at 93 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 34 basis points, trading at 8 cents U.S. The euro losing 57 basis points, yet still trades at $1.46 U.S. The British pound is off 54 basis points, trading at $1.62, and the Swiss franc off 75 basis points, almost a full point drop there, yet still trading at 96 cents U.S. In the bond market, the yield on the two-year note, or the two-year bond, I should say, is still 0.98%, below that 1% mark. It's up, however, where it has been in the last few weeks. So, with that, let's proceed. The 10-year bond yielding 3.44, some talk about moving that one way and the other in the early morning news. And the 30-year bonds are yielding 4.20%. We're going to talk a little bit more about that bond market in a moment. The mortgage market, the 15-year mortgage, this is a trend. Each month seems to be a little lower on the mortgage market, but down at 4.65% from 4.79 a month ago. The 30-year mortgage is running 5.16%, down from 5.31 a month ago. So that's the market report for this morning. A little bit of financial news, a lot of financial news, only one article, rather lengthy article. Nevertheless, let's go into this off Bloomberg. China, they say, can't buy enough bonds as the dollar is no deterrent. Well, we'll see the truth in that. But this is what they write, Cordell Ellings, or Eddings, and Luc Ayano Minyanda. My, what names these are. September the 21st, Bloomberg, international investors are increasing purchases of treasuries on a bet that U.S. inflation will remain subdued. On a bet that U.S. inflation will remain subdued. Even as the dollar falls to the lowest levels of the year and the budget deficit tops $1 trillion. Kind of rather nasty bet, kind of long odds on that bet, boys. But if you want to continue to increase purchases of treasuries on your bet, I guess as long as you're not investing my money, go ahead. Investors outside the U.S. bought 43.1% of the $1.4 trillion of notes and bonds sold by the Treasury Department this year. $1.4 trillion. Compared with 27.1% of the $527 billion issued at this point 1 year ago, government figures show. The Merrill Lynch and Company Treasury Mastery Index of U.S. securities returned 1.18% in the third quarter after the worst first half on record as demand from the investor group that includes central banks climbed to record levels at Treasury auctions. To drop down a little bit here, this week, the U.S. will sell $112 billion of 2-, 5-, and 7-year notes. The amount will be a record for that combination of maturities, exceeding the $109 billion sold the week of August the 24th. Treasuries rallied that week, with the yield on the 10-year note falling 12 basis points to 3.45%. That's not very much, actually. Quite low. Federal Reserve holdings of treasuries on behalf of foreign accounts rose 16% to $2.07 trillion with a T since they march high in the dollar index. China, the biggest foreign owner of treasuries, added $24.1 billion in July after net sales of $25.1 billion in June. Billions and billions serves, kind of like McDonald's, you know. Raising its stake, that would be China's stake, in U.S. government debt 3.1% to $80.5 billion. Treasury data showed on September the 16th, the country's holdings have risen 10% this year after a 52% gain in 2008 amid the surge in demand for the safety of U.S. government debt as global credit markets froze. Little choice, however, foreign governments have little choice other than to buy the treasuries because they hold so many dollars. The U.S. dollar accounts for 65% of world currency reserves, up from 62.8% in mid-2008. According to the International Monetary Fund, continuing, dropping down a little in this article, which you can find, by the way, on Bloomberg.com, the interest rate on long-term Treasury bonds is at a very low level by historical standards, said David Dollar. What a curious name, David Dollar, the U.S. Treasury Department's economic and financial emissary to China. I wonder how many phone books they had to go through to find a guy named David Dollar. David Dollar. Hello, David. How's your dollars doing? A long line of dollars, no doubt, David. A descendant of the Dollar family. I wonder if they had anything to do with the creation of the dollar. I don't know. David Dollar, the U.S. Treasury Department's economic and financial emissary to China on September 11th, at the World Economic Forum meeting in Dalian, China. So everyone was watching the people marching around in circles in Washington, D.C. and in New York on the September the 11th, while everyone else was occupied with that. The World Economic Forum was meeting in Dalian, China. Quote, that says that the market has confidence the U.S. will get the fiscal problem under control, close quote, said David Dollar. Dropping down a little further in the article here, it says, quote, there is no inflation on the horizon, said Michael Chia, who manages $2 billion in bonds at Sun America. Well, I'll have to pick it up there with Michael Chia's comments on the other side of this very, very essential commercial information. He writes.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local, going into this article off Bloomberg, China can't buy enough bonds as the dollar is no deterrent. New news, September the 21st, 2009. Continuing from the article here, according to Michael Chia, there is no inflation on the horizon. I wonder if he'd like to have that written on his tombstone. Quote, the market is comfortable that the Fed will keep rates low and there isn't much of an alternative. That's the real key to the issue. This is the key to the entire article. There isn't much of an alternative. When you're inside of a Ponzi scheme, I guess you could just have Ponzi scheme A or Ponzi scheme B, but there's not much of an alternative. Continuing from the article here, dropping down a bit further, quote, even though U.S. asset markets are doing well, they're not doing well enough, said Stephen Englander, the chief currency strategist for Americas at Barclays Capital, Inc., said to an interview with Bloomberg Radio on September the 17th, quote, the question is, what is there in the U.S. to attract capital, question mark? And that answer is hard to find. Investors buying a 10-year note today will lose 0.2% if yields rise to 3.57% by year-end, as projected in a Bloomberg survey of forecasts. On an unhedged basis, Europeans would have lost 13% on 10-year notes since the start of the year, according to Merrill Lynch index data. That's not much of an investment when you go into it knowing that you're going to lose. Let's drop down a little further and close this out. Talks about rising unemployment, blah, 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 all of the things that we already know. Jobless rate increasing to 9.7% in August. You know that's not the truth, folks. Fed Chairman Benjamin Bernanke said in Washington September 15th that the worst quarter, quarter century high, that the worst U.S. recession since the 1930s probably ended. That's what Benjamin Bernanke said on September 15th. Write that into your diary. Put that in your day timer. Write it up on the calendar in the kitchen. On September 15th, the worst U.S. recession since the 1930s ended. Well, at least that's what Bernanke said. Let's drop down a little further here. The U.S. will sell $43 billion in two-year notes tomorrow. Now, let's see, it is Monday. That means tomorrow, that would be Tuesday. The U.S. will sell $43 billion in two-year notes tomorrow. $40 billion of five-year debt on September the 23rd and $29 billion in seven-year securities on the 24th. You can see that that puts a little bit of a burden on those that are expected to buy this crap. That's a lot of billions. A lot of billions. Indirect bidders, the class of investors that include foreign central banks. Who are the foreign central banks? Would that be the Rothschilds family and all their kin? Indirect bidders. The class of investors that includes the foreign central banks, they bought 49.4% of the notes at the two-year auctions. Who's underwriting U.S. debt now? The Rothschilds. You can be sure they're going to capitalize their debt. They purchased 56.4% of the five-year notes compared with 36.7% in July. What are these central banks buying it with? Debt notes, promises to pay, right, China and a few other central banks have grumbled about the dollar, but they don't have many other alternatives, so they keep buying. Don't like the quality of this dope, but we're hooked on the dope, so let's just keep buying the dope, right? Said Michael Atkin, well, he didn't quite say it that way, head of the sovereign research at Putnam Investments in Boston, who helps to oversee $12 billion in fixed income assets. Well, that's the story. Find it on Bloomberg. Here's a rather interesting story, just stupid news to go along with that stupid article. More stupid news, this time out of China, China Daily, Zhang Yan and Gui Zhiqiao. Stabbing forces knives out of supermarkets. A ban on knife sales is in place at major supermarkets until the end of the National Day holiday, following two stabbing attacks in the capital. Police said knives were removed from shelves at four major supermarket chains, including Carrefour and Walmart, Jinkalong and Tiankalong. A Carrefour manager told Beijing Metro that sales would resume in mid-October when the holiday is over. It follows the stabbing of a woman on Dashalan, Beijing's oldest commercial street near Tiananmen Square, on Saturday. Police detained the alleged attacker, a 41-year-old man from Nanchang in the Xinjiang province, at the scene. The woman, who has not been identified, was slightly injured and taken to the hospital. Although the story gets worse here, on Thursday in the same area, another knife-wielding man stabbed two guards to death and wounded 14. Seems like they're getting a little bit crazy over in China as they celebrate their National Day holiday. Police have stepped up patrols of the popular tourist area in recent days. Many foreigners spoken to Beijing Metro yesterday said they did not believe the capital had a security problem. Martin Miller, who has worked at a German bank in Beijing for 5 years, said he felt safe. I must say, with such a large population, Beijing has been a very safe city, close quote, the 43-year-old said in Chinese. Quote, with the police on the streets, I don't feel any less safe than in any other city in the world, close quote. However, Tarikov Maxim, a Russian employee at the Russian embassy, said the attacks made him fear for his family's safety. I really hope Chinese police make greater efforts to protect our foreigners' interests, especially personal security and property safety, he said. Danish tourist Torp Poulsen said China was safe compared to other countries in Asia. Quote, I feel quite safe in China, and I'm not worried about this incident at all, close quote, he said. Gerard Herat, a businessman from France, said, I don't think places like Tiananmen are dangerous to travel. Well, there you go. It's going to be a lot safer on the streets now in China as they've outlawed the sale of knives. Well, let's go into something else. We have covered in the past some discussions about the Bank for International Settlements. You can go back in the archives for the broadcast and find our inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic order put out quite a few weeks ago, months ago, actually. But in that talk, we talked a little bit about the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS. We'll talk about that again briefly here this morning. But the Bank for International Settlements was an institution properly known as the World Bank. The World Bank was organized under the Young Plan for the primary purpose of receiving and disbursing the reparation payments imposed upon Germany as a result of the Treaty of Versailles, and to perform certain other functions in the international banking field. Its statutes defined its three objectives or purposes as these. One, to promote the cooperation of central banks. Two, to provide an additional facility for international financial operations, and three, to act as trustee or agent in regard to financial settlements entrusted to it. Now, over the weekend, I completed reading a book I've had in my library for some time. I will endeavor to get this author on air with us, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. He wrote a very interesting book titled The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. I'll give you a little bit about the Bank for International Settlements from his book when we return from this short commercial permission.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again our call-in numbers, folks. If you're interested in getting in and getting your views on air, you're certainly welcome to do so. The Austin, Texas area call-in line is 512-904-8014. Or if you have unlimited long-distance access, you could use that line. And internationally, around America, around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and of course your calls are always welcome. This very interesting book, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's The Synagogue of Satan, is very readable. Unlike other books in my library of this length, 316 pages, it oftentimes, you know, it took relatively very small amount of time to read it. But it's written in an open style. It's very easy to read. You can just move right straight through it. Rather interesting in the way that he's styled this book, much the way that Daryl Everhart is stepping through his Missing Gaps in History on Wednesdays with us right here on Become Vocal Local. But, of course, this is an antithesis or an alternate thesis, we might say, to the work that Daryl is bringing out, and this one points directly at this Rothschild banking cabal as the synagogue of Satan and all of their friends. But he styles it, or he sets it up, basically as a chronology. It's a timeline, and he starts from the very earliest in the original inception of the Rothschild banking family, with Meyer Amschel Bauer Rothschild, and then steps it right through after his 10 children, 5 sons and 5 daughters are born, and brings it all the way up to date. That's rather interesting. Makes for an easy read. It's a good reference material, and as I said, I'd like to get Mr. Hitchcock on air with us to go through his book. The only lament that I have is that it's a little bit shy on footnotes. As a matter of fact, it's devoid of footnotes. He does fairly well state some indication of his sources, but he leaves many to the reader's own devices to verify. But continuing, let's go in. In 1929, in April, Rothschild, Paul Warburg, sends out a secret warning to his friends that a collapse and nationwide depression has been planned for later this year. 1929, banking collapse. It's certainly no coincidence that the biographies of all the Wall Street giants of that era, John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan Jr., Joseph Kennedy, Bernard Baruch, and others, all marvel at the fact these people got out of the stock market completely just before the crash and put their assets into cash or gold. So as all the bankers and their friends already knew, in the August, the Federal Reserve System began to tighten the money supply. Just keep your eyes peeled as what's happening now as we go into this G20 meeting. And look at the dates as well. Again, so as all the bankers and their friends already knew, in August, the Federal Reserve began to tighten the money supply. Then on October the 24th, the big New Year bankers called in their 24-hour broker call loans. This meant that both the stockbrokers and their customers had to dump their stocks on the stock market to cover their loans, irrespective of what price they had to sell them for. As a result of this, the stock market crashed, a day that would go down in history as Black Thursday. In his great book, The Crash of 1929, John Kenneth Galbraith makes the following shocking statement, quote, "At the height of the selling frenzy, Bernard Baruch brought Winston Churchill into the visitors' gallery of the New York Stock Exchange to witness the panic and impress him with his power over the wild events on the floor." Bernard Baruch. Son of a wolf, by the way. Son of a wolf. Actually, great-grandson of a wolf, a slaver involved in the slave trade. Anywho, Republican Congressman Louis T. McFadden, chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee from 1920 to 1931, who was a staunch critic of the Jewish bankers, is quite candid as to who was responsible when he states of this crash, quote, "It was not accidental. It was a carefully contrived occurrence. The international bankers sought to bring about a condition of despair here so that they might emerge as rulers of us all." We have to be very careful as we study history. Power changes from one group of hands to another group of hands from time to time, and if you miss the sleight of hand pass off of the baton, you might carry along in your research thinking that Party A rules the world, only to discover that Party A has been replaced by Party B. Continuing, despite the claims of how the Federal Reserve would protect the country against depression and inflation, they continued to further contract the money supply. Between 29 and 33, they would reduce the money supply by an additional 33%. Even Milton Friedman, we've read from Milton Friedman's accounts here on this broadcast, his book, Free to Choose. But even Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, stated the following in a radio interview in January of 1996, quote, "The Federal Reserve definitely caused the depression, by contracting the amount of currency in circulation by one-third from 1929 to 1933. And these men and their families continue to live or walk free in America today. In only a few weeks from the day of the crash, $3 billion of wealth vanished. Now remember, those days, $3 billion then was far more than in purchasing power than it would be today. Within a year, $40 billion of wealth vanished. However, it did not simply disappear. It just ended up consolidated in fewer and fewer hands, as was planned. And one of our callers at on a previous broadcast spoke about the Kennedys, and here's a little tidbit as a salutation to his wise observation. An example of this is Joseph P. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's father, who in 1929 was worth $4 million, and in 1935, following the greatest depression in America's history, that had increased to over $100 million. This is why depressions are caused. It is to take money out of the hands of the many for the benefits of a few. And throughout the news today, you want to go out and visit Bloomberg or any Market Watch or any of the other news sites out there, you'll find that there's still considerable discussion between Congress critters and the Fed as to this idea of auditing the Fed, changing the rules of the Fed. There's lots of discussion about capping the amount of money that bankers can make and so on and so forth. But just recall that the whole idea of depression is to take money out of the hands of the many for the benefit of a few. On this occasion, the money would be largely spent overseas, as whilst this Great Depression was occurring, millions of American dollars were being spent on rebuilding Germany from the damage sustained during Worldwide War I. In preparation for the Rothschilds' next war, which was Worldwide War 2.0. Republican Louis T. McFadden, chairman of the House Banking Currency Committee from 1920 to 1931, state the following in relation to this. And it goes on rather lengthy. After World War I, Germany fell into the hands of the German international bankers. Those bankers bought her and now own her lock, stock, and barrel. They've purchased her industries. They have mortgages on her soil. They control her production. They control all her public utilities. Sound like something happening in America today, dear listeners? Dropping down to 1930, this year in 1930, 33 years after the first World Zionist Congress was held in Basel, Switzerland, the first Rothschild quote-unquote World Bank, the Bank for International Settlements, or BIS, is established in the same place, Basel, Switzerland. Established by Charles G. Dawes, a Rothschild agent and vice president under President Calvin Coolidge from 1925 to 1929, Owen D. Young, a Rothschild agent, founder of RCA and chairman of General Electric from 1922 and until 1939, and Helmut Schacht, or Schacht, of Germany, who was president of the Reichsbank. That's who set this all up. The BIS is referred to by the bankers as, quote, the central bank for the central banks, close quote. To put this bank into perspective today, whereas the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, and the World Bank deal with governments, the BIS deals only with other central banks. Same kind of Rothschild phenomena repeating over and over again. We'll be right back after these brief commercial messages. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
And we are back and checking on the web here over the commercial intermission. We find the Dow is down 85 points thereabouts, trading at 97. It's pretty well a straight down drop. The gold is up over $1,000. We'll see where it goes throughout the day. It's going to be a very interesting and volatile week with the G20 in session. Let's go back and pick up a little bit better understanding of just what is this international monetary fund, the IMF, the World Bank, and the Bank for International Settlements. Because this is the synagogue, if you will, that is running the planet through their financial interests. Continuing, says, to put this bank into perspective today, again, this is from the Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. He says this, to put this bank into perspective today, whereas the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank deal with governments, the BIS deals only with other central banks. Early on, that was the idea that the Rothschilds came up with, which made them so unique and unusual, is that they found it much more profitable to them to deal with governments than it was to deal with businesses, because if the governments were to renege on their debts, they could always use the force of arms to recover those debts, pretty smart plan, and then finance both sides of the conflict. But anyway, the BIS deals only with other central banks. But if you go back and look at the other central banks, you'll see that it's just themselves. Funny how that worked out. All its meetings are held in secret. Uh-oh, another secret society. And involve the top central bankers from around the world. For example, the former head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, we all know his name, would go to the BIS headquarters in Basel, Switzerland, 10 times a year for these private meetings. 10 times a year, Alan Greenspan, traveling back and forth to Basel, Switzerland, for these private, secret meetings. The BIS also has the status of a sovereign power and is immune from governmental control. You can see how the dialogue in Washington about auditing the Fed and bringing the Fed under more stringent governmental control is either a pipe dream or a declaration of war on the sovereign power known as the Bank for International Settlements. It would be a state of war or crisis. A summary of this various immunity is listed below, and listen carefully. One, the Bank for International Settlement enjoys diplomatic immunity for persons and what they carry with them. In other words, diplomatic pouches or trunks full of gold or whatever. Two, no taxation on any transactions, including salaries paid to employees. They're tax exempt. Three, embassy-type immunity for all buildings and or offices operated by the Bank for International Settlements worldwide, including China and Mexico. Embassy-type immunity for their buildings and offices. Four, no oversight or knowledge of operations by any government authority. They are not audited. Five, freedom from immigration restrictions, a revolving door from one country to another. Six, freedom to encrypt any and all communications of any sort. Encryption. Freedom from any legal jurisdiction. They even have their own police force. Well, you can see that there's a lot more to the Bank for International Settlements than initially meets the eye, especially when we're talking about special drawing rights, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and all of that. Continuing along here a little bit further, back to the encyclopedia, the Young Plan, having abolished the various political controls which had been posed on Germany, the experts who created the plan decided that a new authority, entirely non-political in its character, wouldn't want to politicize the Federal Reserve, right, should be set up to perform those functions previously performed by the Agent General for Reparations. Furthermore, it was the idea of the Young Plan formulators to provide additional facilities for the international movement of funds, your money and mine, and to create an agency through which international financial operations could be expedited. However, when Germany defaulted in her reparations payments, the principal purpose for which the bank was created ceased to exist, ostensibly. The authorized capital of the bank was fixed at 500 million Swiss gold francs, equal approximately to 100 million American dollars, of which only 25% was paid at the time of its organization. Between them, the United States, Great Britain, France, Italy, Germany, Belgium, and Japan, in other words, the G8, subscribed to 55% of the capital stock of the bank. The remaining 45% was sold to various countries either interested in the reparations or whose currencies had been stabilized on a gold or a gold exchange basis. The bank shares carried no voting rights, such right being exercised by the central banks that hold them. Very closed shop here. Administrative control of the bank was vested in a board of directors consisting of not less than 14 nor more than 25 members and composed of the governors of the central banks of the seven countries, mostly Rothschild, above named or their nominees and seven other members nominated by them. each central bank governor being entitled to appoint as a director a national of his own country. To this number were later added 9 directors appointed by the central banks of other participating countries. And during the period of annuity payments, Germany and France were permitted to appoint 1 additional director each. Going back to Auguste Comte, his system of positive polity, his system of positive politics, and Claude-Henri Duverbroy Saint-Simon, his mentor, some call him the founder of French socialism. In the idea brought forward by Auguste Comte and Saint-Simon and the Saint-Simonians, who got into a real brouhaha with the Rothschilds, their idea of the positive stage of man's development would be like this. On this wise, that the captains of finance and industry, of course, you know, you'd have J.P. Morgan, Andrew Carnegie, and those people, that the captains of finance and industry, all of these central bankers and the corporations and the transnationals, that the captains of finance and industry would appoint a global dictator. Ban Ki-moon? Barry the usurper, a global dictator, and then that dictator would be supported in all of his adventures by a cadre of super social scientists, and you might think of who? UNESCO, and all of the other organs and bodies of the Rothschild-instigated and inspired United Nations, now headed up by their appointed dictator, Ban Ki-moon. Formerly Kofi Annan, who happened to be married to a Rothschild daughter. Curious. But they would have a regionalized system of governance, and over each of those regions would be a central bank. And that central bank would serve as the temple, and woman would be the goddess. So we can see that from the mind of Auguste Comte, a little bit twisted that he was, and Claude-Henri Duverbroy Saint-Simon, a lesser noble, but nobleness nonetheless in France. By the way, Henri Saint-Simon served as the head of a French mortar battery at the Battle of Yorktown right alongside George Washington. Saint Simon fancied himself as having turned that battle with the success of his battery of mortars. Of course, that view wasn't held by everyone, and especially not Washington, but nevertheless, Henri Saint Simon was the last man that was given or crowned or earned the Order of Cincinnatus. Cincinnatus, George Washington's military order. Anyway, we'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this top of the hour break and begin hour number 2. Hope you'll stay with us.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, September the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, beginning our second hour of this morning's broadcast, coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour, we covered a variety of topics here. We're looking into the Bank for International Settlements, the morning news, and all of the bonds that are going to be sold into existence in the coming week, and, the, of course, the G20 Summit in Pittsburgh, the Steel City. Pittsburgh coming up this week. Anyway, so much for all of that. Let's go back in and continue. Looking at the Bank for International Settlements, very important, the Central Bankers Bank. And we found that there were 7, not 8, I misspoke, 7 original countries, so perhaps that would be the G7 of their day, the G7 group of 7 countries that created this Bank for International Settlements, the Central Bank's Central Bank, where the central bankers all come together and meet on a regular basis and decide what they're going to do to us. Anyway, continuing along here, it says administrative control of the bank was vested in a board of directors consisting of not less than 14, nor more than 25 members, and composed, again, of the governors of the central banks of the 7 countries above named, or their nominees, and 7 other members nominated by them, each central bank governor being entitled to appoint as a director of a national of his own country. To this number were later added 9 directors appointed by the central banks of other participating countries, and during the period of annuity payments, Germany and France were permitted to appoint 1 additional director each. Dropping down further here, it says the organization committee of the bank had its first full session on October the 3rd of 1929, at which time the statutes, the charter, and the bill of trust were drafted. On the 9th of November of 1929 in Basel, Switzerland, was chosen as the location of the bank. And on the 22nd of April, 1930, Gates W. Magara, chairman of the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, was elected the first president of the new institution. Continuing down a little bit further here, it says the authority of the bank to engage in various kinds of operations was limited by the statutes, which specified that it could accept deposits from and act as a discount agent for central banks. Central banks could deal with private banks and individuals if the central bank of the respective country did not object. They could buy and sell gold and foreign exchange, rediscount for central banks, etc. However, he had no authority to issue notes and was required to maintain a reserve of 40% in gold or foreign exchange against his demand deposits and 25% in gold or foreign exchange against all other deposits. Over the weekend, of course, and we've been hearing about this, I've reported on it earlier. Yes, it's true, you know, the World Bank, same group here, basically. The World Bank, with headquarters in Washington, D.C., authorized what, to sell 430 ton of gold or something along that line. But of course, they'll put it in as a time release thing. They may sell actual gold. They may not. Hard to say. But at that, remember that SPDR Gold Trust, the exchange-traded fund out there, went up on the Internet this morning, and I believe they're holding 1,085 ton of gold, and there are many other holders of large quantities and large ton of gold out there. And, of course, recall and understand that the Chinese are waiting patiently for any gold they can get, no doubt. And they're ramping up exploration in China to bring more gold to market, to bring it to surface, refine it. So we shouldn't be too concerned about that. I'm more concerned about the manipulators in Washington than I am in the sale of gold. We'll take it all right up there after this break. Stay with me.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Monday, September the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Taking a second look at this Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, World Bank, etc., International Monetary Fund, continuing and closing out this article here. It says, in June of 1930, the bank successfully floated the first German annuity loan amounting to $300 million, of which the United States absorbed approximately $100 million. On the 14th of July, 1930, the bank was made trustee for a new Austrian loan of $100 million. And since the lapsing in 1931 of its functions as a trustees for countries which were creditors of Germany. It has engaged in short-term operations to meet gold and currency needs of member banks and has provided for facilities for international financial operations. In other words, it's like a whorehouse, I guess. It's a place for them to come and congress one another. Anyway, that aside, before we go and close out on that, I want to bring this up because I did come across this in the reading of an encyclopedia volume. I thought I would add it to the mix. And this has to do with Wolff's agency, W-O-L-F-F, apostrophe S, Wolff's agency, the Wolff's Telegraphische. It was a German news agency which ranked with Reuters of London and Havas of Paris. And before the outbreak of World War I, Wolff's agency was a private concern doing its greatest business in Germany and Austria, the Norse countries, and Russia. In 1917, the control passed into a syndicate of militarists representing the German government. It ended operations in February 1933 and was succeeded by the Nazi agency, the Deutsche Nach. I can't even pretend to say it. I don't know. It's called the DNB. But I will just simply say this is another of the news wires, the news agencies where we get our new news each day, that was absorbed by the Rothschilds along with Reuters and others. It's very interesting if you can control the news and you control the monetary system, you just about control the world. It's very easy to say that the Rothschilds are just but the guardians of the Vatican Treasury, but to verify that is going to require a whole lot more research on my part. I certainly don't agree. I would look at guardian as if you were dealing with a incompetent or a child, if you will. You're the guardian of their treasury, just as much as the Rothschild central banking systems, the Bank for International Settlement, and all of that seem to be the guardians for the American treasury and the guardians for the Crown's treasury. Kind of difficult to figure out just what the relationship is. Once you own them lock, stock, and barrel, who is the dominatrix and who is the one getting whipped? Here's a little something from Carol Quigley out of his book, Tragedy and Hope. He styles it along this line, quote, the powers of financial capitalism had a far-reaching plan. Nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion. Very important there. This system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and conferences. Heard a little bit about those frequent meetings, didn't we? This feudalist fashion, in other words, you divide up the planet into regions, and then you establish a central bank there. That's kind of like the lord of the manor. And then everyone else is just a serf on the global plantation. It really is the concentration of all wealth in the hands of but a few. The apex of the system, Quigley writes, was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central banks, which were themselves private corporations. Each central bank sought to dominate its government by its ability to control treasury loans. How many billions do we report on this morning? Treasury loans to manipulate foreign exchanges, we report on those daily here, to influence the level of economic activity in the country, unemployment figures rising, and to influence cooperative politicians by subsequent economic rewards in the business world. This is the revolving door in and out of Goldman Sachs into the Treasury, back out into Goldman Sachs, then into the Treasury, then back into Goldman Sachs. Rather interesting. I would certainly like to get Andrew Carrington Hitchcock on air with us to discuss his book, The Synagogue of Satan, in greater detail, going into a little bit different discussion as we talk about monopolies and gaining monopolies, financial monopolies. There is another form of gold on the planet. Ever since Glasnost, you know, that wanted to make our governments more transparent, that's Glasnost, of course. Mikhail Gorbachev, Anatoly Golitsyn wrote well about that in his book, which I have in my library. But Glasnost, this transparent, making our government more open and transparent, Glasnost, like a glass knot. We find that water has become on the planet much as blue gold. Oh, yeah, blue gold. Some claim that much of the reason why we are in Iraq is to secure for Israel Iraq's water supplies, among others reasons. The Golan Heights went down that way as well. Water is one of those things that are preciously scarce on that box of rocks known as Israel. Yisrael. Chapter 18 out of Agenda 21. The title reads this way: The Protection of the Quality and Supply of Fresh Water Resources, Application of Integrated Approaches to the Development, Management, and Use of Water Resources. Of course, in the news this morning, we have more of this man-made global warming carbon credits and things that are going to be discussed, both at the United Nations and at Copenhagen, and no doubt will be part of the discourse at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh. But, of course, fresh water sources is big business, and control of them, the quality and the supply, figures right into this discussion this morning on the international banks. Freshwater Resources, Introduction, Chapter 18.1, right out of Agenda 21, reading from the book itself. Freshwater resources are an essential component of the Earth's hydrosphere and an indispensable part of all terrestrial ecosystems. Find out a little bit more about freshwater and carbon dioxide when we come back. Put freshwater and carbon dioxide together and you have a rather refreshing drink.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
And we've returned once again, going into the Chapter 18 of Agenda 21, looking at water, fresh water, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink, blue gold. Again, it begins, fresh water resources are an essential component of the Earth's hydrosphere and an indispensable part of all terrestrial ecosystems. The freshwater environment is characterized by the hydrological cycle, including floods and droughts, and which in some regions have become more extreme and dramatic in their consequences. And of course, in the news this morning, if you look in, you'll find that there's great discussion of that, particularly looking at China. Global climate change and atmospheric pollution could also have an impact on freshwater resources and their availability, and through sea level rise, threaten low-lying coastal areas and small island ecosystems. Read an article on the net over the weekend about some island community that are thinking of moving their people from the islands to mainlands because they're concerned about the rising level of the ocean. Kind of tough to have to make your entire life, I guess, in a dinghy or with a life jacket on as you bob around looking for a place to sleep at night. I don't know whether that's going to happen, but certainly in 1992, that was the level of fear-mongering that was being put out of the Earth Summit Agenda 21 in the Rio de Janeiro area. Going into this a little bit further, we've covered quite a bit out of this chapter in the past. We'll just pick up a little bit here and then go over to another source or resource. The development of interactive databases, 1814, section 1814. The development of interactive databases, forecasting methods, and economic planning models appropriate to the task of managing water resources in an efficient and sustainable manner. You always have to be very careful when you hear that word sustainable. It means one thing to one group, another to another. But in an efficient and sustainable manner will require the application of new techniques such as geographic information systems. You've heard us talk on this broadcast before about the GIS, Geographic Information System, GPS, a geospatial positioning system, governance of the planet, and expert systems to gather, assimilate, analyze, and display multi-sectoral information and to optimize decision-making, and that's the IT aspect of water management. Of course, tomorrow we'll talk with Vicki Davis and we'll go into things like this in greater detail. In addition, the development of new and alternative sources of water supply and low-cost water technologies will require innovative applied research. This will involve the transfer, adaptation, and diffusion of new techniques and technology among developing countries, as well as the development of endogenous capacity for the purpose of being able to deal with added dimension of integrating engineering, economic, environmental, and social aspects of water resource management and predicting the effects in terms of human impact. With all of that said, you can understand how much energy and effort and money will be directed toward these things in the future. There's a lot to understand about the hydrological cycle, and we will look into that in a moment. Pursuant to the recognition, again, now this is 1815, right out of Agenda 21, pursuant to the recognition of water as a social and economic good, water as a social and economic good, the various available options for charging water users, including domestic, urban, industrial, and agricultural water user groups, have to be further evaluated and field tested. There be no doubt about it. Water has become a commodity, a social and economic good, and the master blasters of the universe are devising various options for charging us to have a drink of water. Further development is required for economic instruments that take into account opportunity costs and environmental externalities. Field studies on the willingness to pay should be conducted in rural and urban situations. How much are you willing to pay for water? Again, field studies on the willingness to pay, voluntary compliance, consent, contract, field studies on the willingness to pay. Water resources development and management should be planned in an integrated manner, taking into account long-term planning needs as well as those with narrower horizons. That is to say, they should incorporate environmental, economic, and social considerations based on the principle of sustainability, include the requirements of all users as well as those relating to the prevention and mitigation of water-related hazards, and constitute an integral part of the socioeconomic development process. A prerequisite for the sustainable management of water as a scarce, vulnerable resource is the obligation of knowledge in all planning and development, its full costs. Planning considerations should reflect benefits, investment, environmental protection, and operation costs, as well as the opportunity costs, reflecting the most valuable alternative use of water. Actual charging need not necessarily burden all beneficiaries with the consequences of those considerations. That's the equity principle. That's buying the indulgences. It's kind of like cap and trade. Again, actual charging need not necessarily burden all beneficiaries with the consequences of those considerations. Charging mechanisms should, however, reflect as far as possible both the true cost of water when used as an economic good and the ability of the communities to pay when used as an economic good, and the ability of the communities to pay. Wealth redistribution from those according to their ability to those according to their need. How much of a need do you have for water today? How much could you afford to pay? Let's let that go for right now and go back to this treatise that we've been working out of from time to time right here on the broadcast, the International Symposium on Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth, Princeton, New Jersey, 1955. So much of all of this environmental stuff came out of this symposium. You can find the roots of much of these United Nations initiatives and directives right out of this symposium, out of the result of these people's writings. Very interesting writing, very interesting reading as well. being written as it was largely as a scientific work, but it began to be the Bible of the subsequent environmental movement, if you will. I could be so bold as to say so. Changes in Quantities and Qualities of Ground and Surface Water, written by Harold E. Thomas. Be the section we look at a little bit today. Right after this break, we'll get into his idea of the changes in quantities and quality of water, and so much more. Be right back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're going to pick it up right here on Harold E. Thomas's writing for the and his contribution to this symposium that was held in Princeton, New Jersey back in 1955, styled The Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth. His article titled Changes in the Quantities and Qualities of Ground and Surface Water. Harold E. Thomas was a geologist and groundwater hydrologist in the United States. And so he writes this. He says, the records that show the changes in quantities and qualities of surface and groundwater are obtained as a part of a continuing inventory of water resources. Stream discharge, lake stage, water levels in wells, spring discharge, temperature and chemical and bacteriological analyses of groundwater and surface waters. Now, those are all of the sorts of things that hydrologists and engineers and geologists are good at figuring out how to do. Records they can collect, monitoring wells and things like that can be drilled and metered and things. He continues and he says, these records show the composite effect of all factors, natural and artificial, that affect the quantity or the quality of ground and surface water. And I'm going to jump around in his article here. It's way too lengthy to read on air. Practically all of man's water uses can be expected to change either the quantity or the quality or both of the resources of ground and surface water. If water is consumed in the use, and don't know why they don't pay attention, I am on the air, please call back. All right, let's hang that one up. Unfortunately, that particular caller is not one of my listeners. Again, practically all of man's uses of water can be expected to change either the quantity or the quality or both of the resources of ground and surface water. If water is consumed in the use and returned to the atmosphere as vapor, those resources are correspondingly reduced. If water is non-consumptively used, it remains in a liquid state and is eventually returned to a ground or surface water body. But generally, the chemical or physical properties of the water are changed by the use. So from a scientific or a hydrology standpoint, we can be sure that man's use of water does have an impact. There are valid concerns. There are arguments that can and perhaps should be raised on both sides of these water use issues. To be sure, would it be better to not touch water at all, except for to drink it? Or would it be yet better to get involved in what I like to think of as wise use, as opposed to no use? But there's a lot to the study of it, and it really must or ought remain scientific, as opposed to a religious opinion. Continuing here, it says, generally only a small proportion of industrial water is used consumptively, but there is a wide range among the different industries. Some industries are water intensive, to be sure. In the process of using the water, the temperatures and the clarity and the quality of the water can rise or fall. And if it's not being used consumptively, in other words, if it's not being used up, then it's going to have to be discharged to somewhere. And here locally in the chicken processing capital of America, Southwest Missouri, George's, Tyson's, and the others, where you get your little hot wings on a plate there at the Stop and Rob, there's a lot of water that's used cleaning and dressing, preparing and freezing those birds for distribution. There's a lot of water that's used in raising them as well. And although most of the water that is used in raising those birds then leaves the area because those birds' carcasses go bye-bye, and the aquifers below the confined animal feeding operations where the chickens are raised is depleted, unless it's recharged from underground sources or from rain. So there are issues. Dropping down a little further, it says, non-consumptively used waters include especially sewage, industrial waste, and irrigation return flows, but when these are added to a stream or groundwater reservoir, they may render far larger quantities of water unsuitable for some uses. Yes? industry and agriculture all impact the quality of water. No doubt about it. Thus, practically every type of use of water may reduce, again, the quantity or impair the quality of the water resources available for other water users. Mankind has not always been aware that uses of water must change the natural resources. The hallowed riparian doctrine of water rights in streams, stemming from an English court decision in the 1833, specifies that water users shall not reduce the quantity or impair the quality of the water in the stream, which, if strictly interpreted, would prevent any use of the water. Now again, is it no use or wise use? What's the argument? No use or wise use? Many humid regions can nevertheless adhere to the doctrine because the progressive gain in stream flow offsets the reductions by consumptive use and dilutes the impurities resulting from non-consumptive use. Very interesting statement. Any changes wrought by man in the quantities or qualities of ground or surface water represent modifications in the natural pattern of circulation of water, the hydrological cycle. Because of this natural circulation, the hydrologic cycle, water is generally a renewable resource and it is therefore exceptional among the mineral resources of the earth and similar to the animal and vegetable resources. Groundwater and surface water are only two of several phases in the hydrologic cycle, but they are exceedingly important to man because they provide his fresh water resources. So even though there is so much water on the planet, if you happen to live in the Gobi Desert or someplace in Arizona or other places around the United States or around the world, you may have an underground aquifer which could provide water like an oasis for a while, but an overuse of that water trying to turn the desert into the Rose of Sharon or something would deplete that water resource inordinately. And so the little box of rocks Israel has to prey on its neighbors to enjoy its consumptive water use, even though it's backed up directly to the Mediterranean Sea with an unlimited amount of water that a developed nation might utilize for agricultural purposes through desalinization plants and other things. They've got some 200, maybe 400 nuclear weapons, but how many nuclear-powered desalinization plants have they built? Probably far more bombers and missile delivery systems than that. Anyway, my bias. The science of hydrology embraces all phases of the hydrologic cycle. Hydrology, the science. So complex is each of these phases that the hydrologist must also be specialist in one or more of the closely related sciences of climatology, soil science, geology, chemistry, physics, biology, and agronomy. You can imagine as we continue to dumb our children down intentionally in our public school system, how these specious arguments like man-made global warming can be sustained because something reasonably complex like hydrology or the study thereof, the science hydrology, or becoming a hydrologist, is dependent upon full and accurate knowledge of climatology, soil science, geology, chemistry, physics, biology, and agronomy. A specialist in this field is going to be of limited value, where a generalist would be more likely to give accurate predictions. Anyway, we'll pick it up right there on the other side and come back. A lot to it when you think about water. Leave gold.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents, $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
And we've returned, and there's no way in this short final segment of today's broadcast to adequately cover this entire chapter, so we'll stick it in the pile of things to continue again in the future. But I'll go ahead and give you just a little bit more out of this. As you look at this Agenda 21 that was prepared largely by wordsmiths, you can see that they drew upon reference sources such as the one that I'm using this morning and developing the verbiage that found its way into this treaty, Agenda 21. But it's cherry-picked very carefully to build a idea of scarcity and need, a need to support the idea of GIS, GPS, global governance, and to facilitate the demand that lies and underlies all of what is sustainable development, a continuing demand for an increase environment and developmental concerns, corporations like Siemens and others that make a lot of money in this business. But it goes on and continues here. The fluctuations in surface water resources and in many groundwater resources in response to climatic variations are so commonplace that they are taken for granted by water users. And the variations from quote-unquote normal precipitation provide an index to the water supplies that can be expected from streams, reservoirs, and some wells. So long as the quote-unquote normal remains constant, even though there are marked variations from day to day, season to season, and year to year, these variations can doubtless be discriminated from the changes caused by man, which are likely to be progressively greater in response to the increasing tempo of man's operations, from which you could extract man-made global warming, perhaps. Man's impact, man's role in changing the face of the earth on a very small scale. But here's something that was pointed out by Willett in 1953. There is continually in progress an entire spectrum of cyclical fluctuations of climate, cycles of shorter period and smaller amplitude being superimposed on those longer period and larger amplitude. These cycles include one whose half period, at least in Europe, extends from the climactic optimum at about 3000 BC to the peak glaciation from AD 1600 to 1900. A second cycle of smaller amplitude and a period of some 2000 years cool wet from 500 BC to AD 100, warm dry from 400 to 1000, and cool wet from the 13th century to the present. And shorter and smaller cycles from a few centuries in the period to the 80-year or the double sunspot and the single sunspot cycles observed during the past two centuries. Bits of that don't quite get into the general mix on the evening news. Here's a little more. Glaciers, the author writes, provide excellent evidence as to the balance between precipitation and evaporation. If the precipitation is heavy enough or the temperature low enough to retard the rate of evaporation, the glacier will advance. If precipitation is light or temperature sufficiently high, the glacial front will recede. The long-term trends, as showed by glacial advances and recessions, result entirely from natural conditions and need not be adjusted for man's activities. Apparently, in his high-dollar education, Albert, I invented the internet and climate change, Gore, didn't learn that lesson. The data summarized by Mathis shows that glacial recession has been general since the middle of the 19th century and that it is worldwide. The data, like those of temperature, suggest a rough synchronism in long-term climactic trends throughout the world. These trends in the last century would cause a decrease in net water supplies and probably a deterioration of quality of both surface water and groundwater naturally occurring. Since 1940, many glaciers have been advancing as might be expected with the decreasing temperatures. Does that sound like man-made global warming to you? Or is it, as so many have already advanced, natural global cooling? The glacial advances in Glacier Park, Montana, have coincided with forecasts based on the sunspot cycles. Is this man-made global warming? Or are these just natural cycles? The rise in sea level, therefore, is not in conflict with other hydrologic evidence that in the past century the trend has been toward decreasing net water supplies on the continents. Indeed, the pronounced rise in ocean level beginning about 1930 may reflect the widespread depletion of surface water and groundwater supplies in the drought of 1930s. It is well known that during the glacial epochs, when vast quantities of ice were stored on the continents, the sea level was several hundred feet lower than it is today. Research in tree ring hydrology, Schumann, 1951, gives promise of providing a basis for detailed analysis of changes in arid regions during the past several centuries, changes that may have been in progress for periods far longer than are covered by recorded data on precipitation, runoff, groundwater storage, glacial advances, and recessions, or sea level changes. I don't imagine you heard that on the evening news. The development and sustained use of groundwater similarly modify the natural circulation of water by diverting through wells the water that would naturally be discharged into springs, streams, and seeps, or at the land surface by evapotranspiration. And I mean to tell you, if you could see the charts here that lay out the complexity of the Creator's natural complex pattern of water circulation, you would understand how insignificant old 5'2" eyes of blue man on the face of the earth really is in the overall scheme of things. Dropping down further in this article, it says water is being withdrawn from some groundwater reservoirs at rates in excess of the natural replenishment, and the result is that the storage in the reservoir is being progressively depleted. In these areas, water is being mined. Mined. And so if we are involved in a process of mining the water as a natural resource, as a mineral, then obviously a charge would have to be considered appropriate for the use of that water. No doubt about it. Like anything else you're extracting from the ground. In some places, the aquifers are so ancient that we don't know when they were formed with any certainty. Places like that obviously would demand special consideration. But in general, water is a renewable resource. And so it takes a certain amount of intellect and ethical utility, I guess, as part of the discussion about water to determine whether or not there is a problem or there isn't a problem. And if there is a problem, stop exacerbating the problem. If there is no problem, let us not paint the entire globe with the same broad brush. Everybody's water needs are different. And the water supply is not uniformly distributed over the planet. But if you're living someplace where water is not in normal, plentiful supply, you've got to ask yourself, why are we living here? Let's move to some place where there's more water and get off the other people's back. Get out of my pocket, socialist jokes. We'll be back tomorrow with Vicki Davis. Till then, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
History will always remember those strongest words. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.